Part 2, Chapter 2, Caribbean Adventure. We were ready to fly to the island of Antigua in the Caribbean to help establish a new missionary radio station, as ready as we could be. With the wonderful help of our friends Sam and Mary Voss, we had packed a 35-foot Sealand container with our furniture, car, and other belongings, along with building supplies and the radio tower for the radio station. My good friend from high school days, Pat York, said that her son Dale wanted to travel to Antigua with us. We tried to get him to wait until we were settled there before he came, but his parents did not want him to travel alone, so we agreed to let him come along with us. He had a lot of stories to tell when he returned home about a month later. We moved to Atlanta for a few weeks while waiting for the time of our departure. Colonial Hills Baptist Church, one of our supporters, allowed us to stay in their mission house near the church. We set up our home school there and began to get in gear for the first project for the children and me in Antigua. The children also enjoyed visiting their grandmother's class at Colonial Hills Christian School a few times. Finally, the big day of our flight to Antigua arrived, November 14, 1973. We said goodbye to Rowan's parents and boarded British West Indies Airways at the Atlanta airport. We ran into a snag at the airport in Miami, where we had to transfer to another flight to Antigua. The airline did not want to allow us to board the plane because we did not have round-trip tickets. We explained we were moving to Antigua and would not be returning to the USA for several years. Besides that, we had no money to pay for return tickets. They were not satisfied until we produced a telegram we had received from the government of Antigua stating that the cabinet had approved our application to build a radio station. We were finally allowed to board and breathed a big sigh of relief when we sat down in our seats on the plane. We soon learned things do not always go according to plans, especially in the third world countries. Our flight was scheduled to leave Miami at 3:45 p.m. and arrive on the island of Antigua at 6:20 p.m. The flight left Miami very late, so we knew we would arrive late in Antigua. We were concerned because we had arranged with National Pastor Atlee King to pick us up, and his church had prayer meeting that night. We had no way to let him know we would be late in arriving. We had no cell phone in those days. As the plane approached Antigua about 10:30 p.m., the pilot announced on the intercom, "Ladies and gentlemen, we have a change in our flight schedule. The Barbados airport will close at 11 o'clock, so we'll be flying past Antigua to Barbados to arrive there before it closes. Then we will return to Antigua. We are sorry for any inconvenience this will make for you." Poor Brother King. When we finally arrived in Antigua after midnight, he told us he had made 3 or 4 trips to the airport to get us. The airline personnel in Antigua did not seem to know what was going on. Nevertheless, it all worked out, and Pastor King took us to the Johnson's little wooden house where we would be staying. Before we left the States, we had met Jerry and Charmel Johnson, who were on furlough in the USA, and they offered the use of their little house in Antigua until we could locate a house for our family. We crawled into bed at about 2 a.m. And when we woke up at 7 a.m., we met a lady sitting on our porch. The sweet Antiguan lady looked at us with a broad smile on her face. "Good morning," she said. "Welcome to Antigua. Brother and Sister Johnson told me you were coming. I worked for them when they were here, and they said I could work for you. I like to wash clothes, and I do a good job." This was the beginning of a wonderful relationship with this dear, sweet Christian lady, Miss Maggie. Miss Maggie became part of our family for all of our 13 years in Antigua, and she did much more than wash clothes. She taught us to enjoy her delicious pepper pot, fish and fungi, pumpkin soup, and many other wonderful Antiguan dishes. Almost immediately, Roland began the rounds of government offices to meet the government officials and to begin the necessary process of getting permits for acquiring land, building the studio building, getting land for the radio tower, obtaining broadcast frequencies, etc. He set out each morning on foot, walking the 2 or 3 miles to town and back. Our car was in the container and would not arrive until a few weeks later. The government officials were quite cordial, but they gave Roland the runaround with very little in the way of real results. It was a bit discouraging, but the verses from James chapter 1 we were memorizing in our family devotions encouraged us. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that we may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." James chapter 1, verses 2 through 5. Becky was 13 years old when we arrived in Antigua, and she met several little girls in the village and adopted them as little sisters. Our boys, 11, 9, and 5 years old, enjoyed wandering around the village and getting acquainted with the neighbor boys. They found a little stray puppy trotting around the street by itself and were not able to find the owner. A man saw them with the puppy and told them they could keep it if they wanted to. So they brought the puppy home. We decided to keep him, but there was a problem. We had no fence around the yard of the little wooden house, so we had no way to keep him in the yard. We ended up putting him on the porch and closing the gate on the porch. We had to keep the front door open to allow more air to flow through the hot house. And of course, the puppy found his way inside the house. That was not so nice, because everywhere the puppy went, he left puddles and piles. Guess what we named him? Puddles. We were praying for the Lord to lead us to a suitable house we could rent for our family, and the Lord answered prayer. When we took walks around the village, we looked for a house and found a nice cement block house with 4 bedrooms. The neighbors told us how to contact the owner, and we were able to rent it in time to get ready for the arrival of our container with our furniture. Our visiting friend, Dale, was a big help in painting the rooms inside the house so it would be ready for us to move into before he flew back home to the USA. Getting established in another country is no small thing. Clearing customs for the 35-foot Sea-Land trailer containing our household belongings and the tower and building supplies was a once-in-a-lifetime experience, we hoped. We actually had to go through this process many times. and none of the experiences were easy. Our container arrived shortly before Christmas, and we moved into the house on Christmas Eve. Pastor King helped us move, and as we moved the last of the furniture into the house, he said, "The church folks will come and join you for an early Christmas service tomorrow morning." Well, we surely did a lot of scrambling to be ready for our Christmas morning guests. We had a blessed time together. Be ready for anything, right? We set up one of the bedrooms as our home school. We had begun the school year in Atlanta while we were waiting for our flight to Antigua, so we took up where we left off. I wanted the children to learn as much as possible about their new home on the 9x12 mile island, so I set up a contest with the names of the villages of Antigua all around the wall. I cut out construction paper bicycles with their names on them and gave them points for completing their daily work, good grades on tests, good behavior, etc. They started in the capital city of St. John's and cycled around the island, visiting each village. We all learned a lot from that contest and had fun doing it. We praised the Lord for opportunities to witness in our neighborhood. One young lady attended church with us and accepted the Lord as her Savior. We prayed for her Christian growth and strength to resist the many temptations a single girl faced in that environment. We were also concerned about the children in our area. I taught two Bible clubs in our neighborhood. 60 children crowded into our living room to sing and learn God's Word. Quite a few of them prayed to receive the Lord as Savior and were memorizing Scripture and growing spiritually. We also had an adult Bible class in our home on Friday nights. Antiguan pastor, Brother Atlee King, did an excellent job teaching the Gospel of John. We enjoyed the ministry of Brother King, pastor of Galilean Baptist Church in the village of Liberta in the countryside. We helped with the Sunday school, music, bus ministry, open-air meetings, and a weekly quarter-hour television program. Roland was still making the rounds of government offices, finding officials friendly and helpful. His visit with the Prime Minister was delightful. He assured us the government welcomed the Caribbean Radio Lighthouse. The director of the news station, Al Snyder, came down to Antigua for a few days in January 1974. Roland and Al attended the West Indies Baptist Fellowship Conference in St. Thomas, U.S. Virgin Islands, and taught a radio seminar to graduates and students of BIMI's Blue Water Bible College. Roland later toured several of the islands, presenting the ministry of the Caribbean Radio Lighthouse, and he was well received. We believe the Lord was raising up Caribbean pastors to make broadcasts and many Christians in the island to pray for the station. While Roland was on the island of Nevis, he met Pastor St. Clair Archibald and his wife and family of five boys. Later, the Archibalds visited us in Antigua and told us they believed the Lord was calling them to be a part of the staff of the Caribbean Radio Lighthouse. They moved to Antigua and were a great blessing to the ministry of the radio station. Brother Archibald also eventually started a little church we attended in the village of Jennings near the radio station. In April 1974, we received word the Cabinet of the Government of Antigua approved the two land sites we requested. We expected to complete the lease arrangements in the next few days and begin building. Several specialists, planned to come down to Antigua for a few days to help, beginning welding construction, carpentry, plowing in the ground system for the radio tower, preparing for erecting the tower, installing equipment, tuning a transmitter, etc. That was our plan, but the Lord had a different plan. It was discovered that the approved radio site on Scotts Hill was owned by someone else and was not available to us. We prayerfully looked at quite a few other sites. The Lord led us to a triangular plot for the studio building, 4 miles from the city of St. John's on one of the main roads. Roland drew a map locating the plot and handed it to the chief surveyor, who later told his surveyors the minister, quote-unquote, had chosen another plot. The surveyors thought he referred to the minister of lands, so they went ahead and surveyed that plot prematurely. But he was only referring to Roland. The government soon surveyed and approved the studio site and the site on a salt pond 5 miles away for the tower and transmitter building. We were given permission to excavate right away and start actual construction when the lease was prepared and signed. As the grader was landscaping the plot for the studio building, the operator, apparently a Christian, was singing over the roar of the engine. Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson blood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. It was wonderful to hear the roar of progress along with a message to which the radio ministry was dedicated. We applied to a London office for frequency assignments. The office asked all kinds of questions in addition to requesting many forms, applications, and data sheets required for frequency allocation. We learned just how big a need the Lord would be meeting with regard to electric power entrances. In Antigua, the customer must pay for everything from the main lines on down. The studio would be adjacent to a power line, so it was not such a great need there. But service to the transmitter tower site was a horse of another color, as Roland commented. It was 3,800 feet from the power lines and required 19 poles and 2.5 miles of wire, plus, plus, plus. Did the Lord provide? Of course. He promised to supply all our need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:19. We lack nothing with Him. We were at the bottom of the barrel with many other needs for building and shipping, paying the rent on the land in advance, paying a lawyer to draw up the lease, etc. But our faithful Lord took care of every need. August 1974 was an eventful month. Alan Evelyn Snyder and their 2 boys arrived on Antigua, and fellow missionary Jerry Johnson organized a new independent Baptist church in the city of St. John's, Grace Baptist Church. Galilean Baptist Church and Grace Baptist Church both needed musicians to play the piano and organ for their services. So for several months, Roland and I split up to take care of that need in both churches. Also in August, we received the important news from London that 1165 on the AM dial had been assigned to the Caribbean Radio Lighthouse. Without that, there would be no broadcasting. The Lord was continuing to work toward the establishment of this new beacon of light, to shine out the light of God's Word to a world lost in darkness. We praised Him.